Infield, I played baseball in college. That was my number one. So had that. My high school athletic trainer, his name was Tony Fitzpatrick, and he was really who got me into athletic training and sports medicine in the first place. Yeah. And you need to go to an accredited college in order to get a degree and sit for the certification exam. Winfield had a spot on the baseball team for me and was an accredited college. So landed there. It just kind of worked out. Got to actually play for a year under former A. Scott Brocious. He was the manager for my freshman season.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And then...
what was he like?
Very nice guy. Very nice guy. Very professional. His son was still at the high school in McMinnville, Oregon, is where that college is at. And he had the most control of a fungo that I've ever seen in my life as a coach. It was, you could point a spot out on the wall or wherever you wanted, and he could hit it on the fly, no problem. Great guy. Only got the 1 year with him, obviously, and we had a very large roster, and I was a pitcher. So I didn't spend a ton of time with him, but the time that I got with him, he was incredible.
And then your second year?
Yeah, so second year at Linfield.
Yes.
So basically just started going into my sophomore year. My shoulder was just not friendly to me as a pitcher. Was rehabbing it the entire time, which kind of fed into the sports medicine side of things a little bit more. Went to physical therapy for it, got back, and was just like, you know, I don't know if this is going to be for me long-term, like playing, so just elected to focus on education and go all in on the sports medicine route and see where I could take that. Still wanted to be around the game of baseball, and that's kind of what led me to the position that I'm in now.
So after you graduate from Linfield, what's your next step?
So next step, I actually had an internship with the Arizona Diamondbacks affiliate in Hillsboro, the Hillsboro Hops. They were a short season at the time. I'd applied for Hillsboro and for Eugene, who I believe was the Cubs affiliate at the time, but same league, and they were about an hour away each direction from my college. So went to Hillsboro, interned there for half of a short season under Mike Powell, who's still with the Diamondbacks. And that was my intro to professional baseball, kind of let me know, hey, I do enjoy this, and it doesn't make me sad, I guess, being around as a guy that had formerly played. It's I enjoyed the atmosphere, I enjoyed the guys, and then pursued it as my career.
Did it feel easy, you with your baseball background, slipping right in, saying, okay, I don't feel out of place here?
It definitely helped. Definitely helped just being able to talk the game, go into coaches and be able to talk with them, and they could understand, like, oh, you do have a knowledge of this and also the knowledge that I needed for my job and my position, because sometimes those don't intersperse well. It's like two separate languages, but, yeah.
You finish up that year there. What's your next step?
I worked at the high school back in McMinnville for about 6 months as I was applying for more baseball jobs. Obviously needed some form of income. So I worked at the high school for 6 months and got exposed to a lot of different sports there. And was actually a high school librarian to supplement my salary on that one. So that's kind of a fun joke amongst a lot of my friends and everything. And went from that to accepting a role with the Boston Red Sox as an assistant athletic trainer, which was really a fancier term for a paid intern. Showed up to spring training in 2019 with them in Fort Myers and got assigned to AA in Portland, Maine.
So you've just gone west coast to east coast.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Maine and Oregon?
The funny thing is they're actually pretty similar. In my head, they reminded me a lot of the same, and there was Portland in both of them.
Yes.
And the East Coast, the general feel of it, and being on a coastal city or in a coastal city, it reminded me of the Oregon coast quite a bit, but definitely a lot older and, like, some historical buildings and a little bit of a different culture, but the look and feel of it was very, very similar.
Was there a different culture between the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox and how they ran things?
Definitely. That's every organization kind of has their own way of going about things, and it is what it is. Whatever organization you're in, you have to figure out how to embrace that culture and fit yourself into it and kind of run with it.
What was the difference in your role with the Hops and with the Sea Dogs?
A lot more hands-on opportunities when I was with the Sea Dogs. That was the internship with the Diamondbacks was more so, here's an intro so that you can kind of see what this is all about and if you want to be in it. And that was the point of the internship and also just how it was. When I joined Portland, when I was with the Red Sox, that was much more your hands-on daily. You're talking with the guys. You get to do a lot more of the work and understand what goes into it day-to-day in terms of your effort as well as the player's effort and all of that.
It's funny, I just took a break from the Lugnut this year to attend a family wedding in Portland. where I got a tour of the Sea Dog Stadium. I got to visit Hadlock, and there's the clubhouse inside the right field wall. There's the full feel. It seems like it would be a pretty cool place to spend a summer.
Yeah, it's a great place to spend a summer. That's summer in Portland. I need to go back because that was one of my favorite times of my life so far.
Yeah.
Obviously, great memories with the Sea Dogs and all of that, but it's also just a beautiful place to be in the summertime. And Hadlock, very historical field, very cool look to it. It's definitely unique being underneath the right field wall, but it's really cool out there.
So you're going to working with older players now. Is there something where the player with more experience helps you out compared to the younger players learning just like you are?
It definitely can help being with the older guys. They have a bit more of a feel for what works for them.
Yeah.
And they can teach you what someone else may have taught them 10 years earlier. Not to say that the guys in AA are that much older, but they'd come in and some of them had game plans of what worked for them, and you'd have rehabbers come in since we were close to Boston, and they'd be able to kind of show you what's worked for them over the years, and they're set in a routine, they know what works, they're going to do it, and you just kind of take mental notes from that. So you can learn that and apply it with these guys here if there's something that I need to think out of the box a little bit, and go from there.
From Portland to Holy Cross?
Yes, Portland to Holy Cross. That was a connection where the head athletic trainer at Holy Cross is actually now with the Boston Red Sox in their major league staff. But he'd been at Holy Cross for 20-plus years and knew the staff of the Red Sox well, so they kind of vouched for me and said, hey, this guy's good, and I was seeking out my master's degree. So I went and worked and got my master's degree online while I was working at Holy Cross, and found my way back to baseball.
What was the best part of that experience at Holy Cross?
I mean, the people were definitely the best part. I miss that whole staff that I was working with. Those are some of the favorite people that I've connected with in my entire life. The people were great, as well as I was working two sports that were completely foreign to me, in ice hockey and rowing. So it takes you out of the idea of everything happening in baseball and what you see with shoulders, backs, hips, anything like that. And all of a sudden you're on the ice and trying to teach somebody how to skate again after they have a hip injury.
Rowing, I associated very early hours. How have the different sports changed how you're able to sleep?
Fortunately, I didn't have to be at the early morning practices for rowing. It's not an impact sport, so it wasn't something that I had to be at. But they would practice at 5 in the morning, and waking up early enough to get them taken care of was quite a struggle sometimes, especially when they had bigger events in Boston.
Yeah.
They had to leave early, so it was either you guys are staying up late or I'm waking up early, and I'd rather wake up early than keep them up. So, it's definitely an adjustment because the time commitment across the board for every sport. I'm typically here about an hour or two earlier than everybody else and about an hour or two later than everybody else. So it's a lot, but fine time.
Okay, making a mental map of the United States. You grew up in?
Grew up in Boise, Idaho, but was born in Scottsdale, Arizona.
So we've got Arizona to Idaho and from Idaho to Oregon?
Yes, Idaho to Oregon, and then Oregon, you can count Florida. For spring training if you want to. Bounced up to Maine for 6 months, went to Massachusetts for about a year and a half, and from Massachusetts bounced over to Nevada, and then was in California last year.
Yeah, back to baseball. What brought you to the Oakland Athletics?
Yeah, so going back to baseball was the trip to Nevada, and that really was, I just put my name out there for any job opportunity because I wanted to get back in and I was wrapping up my master's. The minor leagues had shrunk that season, so there weren't a lot of job openings, but I just kept throwing my name at anything that I could find.
So pandemic, you were at Holy Cross 2020?
Yes, yeah, Holy Cross in 2020, and was actually furloughed for a little bit while there because of the pandemic. So that was obviously no one was really working at that time and everything was shut down. So we left the college, I believe mid-March is when all of that kind of hit and we shut down and no one knew when you were coming back. We came back, I think in August, we were starting to get ready for some of those sports seasons, but very, very different feel to it as most people know now. so that was wild and then got through that COVID year and kept in touch with baseball connections, and the athletic trainer that I interned with in Hillsboro was actually my connection to the Oakland A's. he knew the AAA athletic trainer, and we needed somebody up there as the same kind of paid intern role as what I had with the Red Sox, and they needed someone fast because something had shifted. There was a staff change and all sorts of things. So he basically just asked, are you interested in this potential role? I said yes, threw my name in a hat, and within a couple of weeks I was loading up my car to drive to Vegas.
And then the very next year, here you are, your very first time being like head athletic trainer for a minor league baseball team with Stockton. What kind of learning experience was that?
That was definitely a big learning experience. There was a lot that I could take away from all those internships that I had, whether good, bad, mental notes, just learning from guys, as we alluded to.
Yeah.
And yeah, went to Stockton. It was just a lot more in-depth thinking and a lot more time away from the field, still just kind of working on things. Yeah, that was probably the biggest change was all of a sudden everything was in my hands. I didn't have anybody to lean on and ask questions to directly and on a day-to-day basis. I could send messages and whatever to everyone else in the organization, but very different not having someone right there that I could ask questions to.
So. You know how they say when someone first reaches the pros, I think about like NFL, but really any sport, it's so fast and they just needed to slow down. Had things slowed down for you this year?
Definitely have slowed down a bit. That was last year. There were a couple moments mixed in there where it felt like it had sped up, and it was around that midway to the later stages of the season. And that's also when a lot of just kind of the fatigue starts setting in for the players and all that sort of stuff, because, I mean, you're out here basically every single day for 6 months. And it's a grind for them as much as it is a grind for everybody involved. And yeah, the biggest change would definitely be building in some time away from the field to let myself just be removed from everything work-wise and kind of have a mental reset. And that can be a day-to-day thing where you go home and you just watch a movie, watch an episode of a show and don't think about anything related to work, and then you show up the next day feeling great. So, yeah.
How good was your off-season reset after last year in Stockton?
It was a solid off-season reset. I'd moved to Colorado to add another one to the map. Had moved to Colorado in the Denver area, and that was just, again, time away from the sport, time in a new location for me. And it was a very nice reset, just being able to have the time to do my own thing, but I'm still trying to figure out what exactly that means for myself, too. So mix in things here and there that were enjoyable, and especially being in a new location, try to find new places to go and things to do.
Just looking over the course of a year, and I'm just going to take Lansing. Mm-hmm. There's the start of the year, which is winter. Mm-hmm. And then a player hits several different walls that you've got to get through. Mm-hmm. Where do you think those walls exist in the season?
Probably, I mean, right when spring is truly hitting. The weather heats up a little bit here. Like, of course, you've been in spring training, but it's different. You come up here, and like you said, it's kind of winter for the month of April. We had a weird one this year. It was, 70 degrees in the second series?
Week.
So that was funky. And then you go right back to cold. But I'd say about a month, month and a half in is kind of the first wall that guys typically hit. And about a month, month and a half later again is All-Star break. And that week before the All-Star break is guys are kind of hitting a wall because you see this break in sight. And then probably a few weeks to a month after the All-Star break is another one, because it's a lot of trying to keep your mind going and reset it. This last section of the season that we're in now is, again, it gets to be a bit of a grind for everyone because your numbers don't change as quickly.
That's Eric Fast, the head athletic trainer for the Lugnuts. I'm excerpting the interview right there. You can catch the full interview online. It is time for the national anthem. We've had a delay before the start of this one because of rain that came through, but we're ready. Down to the field.
We honor America with our national anthem, which is being performed for us today by the Linn Area Credit Union Choir.
Stripes and bright stars through the pale. It's time for Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. So glad to have you along with me. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. It is time now to share with you the starting lineups. And let's begin with the Lansing Lugnuts, who come into play today, looking to avoid a six-game series sweep. The Lugnuts will lead off with the center fielder, Junior Perez. Batting second at shortstop, it's Jacob Wilson. Hitting third, the DH, Danny Bautista Jr. Batting fourth, first baseman, Brennan Malone. Hitting fifth, right fielder, Colby Thomas. Hitting sixth, the third baseman, A. Uribiel Angeles. Batting seventh, second baseman, Joshuan Wright. Hitting eighth, catcher, C.J. Rodriguez. And rounding off the order for the Lugnuts, in left field, it's Clark Elliott. With Perez, Wilson, Bautista, Malone, Thomas, Angeles, Wright, Rodriguez, and Elliott for the Lugnuts, and they support the right-hander, Yoelvis Del Rosario. Now on the other side for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. The Colonels will lead off with switch-hitting shortstop Noah Miller. Batting second of the order, it's second baseman Jarrell Ortega. Good to see him return to action yesterday after he departed in the first inning yesterday mid-at-bat after fouling a ball off his foot. His pinch hitter Mikey Perez drove in a run. Heading third, the right fielder Kalai Rosario. Batting fourth, third baseman Ben Ross. Heading fifth, it's the catcher Andrew Cassetti. Heading sixth, center fielder Misael Urbina. Batting seventh, left fielder Carson McCusker. Heading eighth in the order, the DH, Jefferson Morales. And then batting ninth, it's first baseman Keone Cavaco. The starting pitching matchup, I mentioned Yoelvis Del Rosario for the Lugnuts. And on the other side, the Cedar Rapids Colonels are starting the right-hander Corey Lewis. And the fun thing about Lewis is he has a knuckleball in addition to everything else that he throws. So good that the rain has left and we can have some baseball. Game 6 of 6, Game 12 of the Lansing Lugnuts road trip. It is 1:18 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. Righty to righty. On the first offering in there, called strike one to Junior. We're officially underway. Corey Lewis, a ninth rounder last year from UC Santa Barbara. Kicks, throws, up and away and all the way to the backstop. The defense for Cedar Rapids, by the way, Noah Miller is at shortstop, at third base Ben Ross. Right side after this pitch, which Perez ground sharply foul up the left side. And the count on Junior Perez is 1-2. At second base, Jarrell Ortega. And at first base, Keone Cavaco. The catcher is Andrew Cassetti. In the outfield, Carson McCusker is in left and center Misael Urbina. And in right field, Kalai Rosario. Perez spoils the next offering foul. 1-2, it remains. So a day off today for Emmanuel Rodriguez, the young slugger for Cedar Rapids. The windup and the pitch. Down low, 2-2 on Junior. Took a rare 0-for yesterday that halted his 8-game hitting streak. Lewis kicks and offers. Strike 3 called on the outside corner at the knees by the home plate umpire Stacy Dunbar. And Junior's down watching. First batter, first strikeout for Lewis. And that brings up Jacob Wilson, who has opened up 4-for-10 with the Lugnuts. 3 hits in his last game, playing 2 days ago. He was idle yesterday. Righty versus righty. The first rounder this past July. First pitch, takes, strike called at 91. The fastball from Lewis. Lewis shakes up that baseball in his right hand. Offers, hit on the air, left center field. McCusker over toward Urbina, but it's Urbina from center who's got the catch. And there's out number 2.
Designated hitter, number 29, Danny Bautista Jr.
Lewis looks for a 1-2-3 top of the first inning. Takes on Danny Bautista Jr., comes in with his 12-game hitting streak, longest of any Lugnut this year, and a 17-game on-base streak. Grounds the first pitch down toward third, grabbed by Ben Ross. To the right of his base, fires across in time. Side retired in order. Let's go to the bottom of the first inning now. Lansing doesn't score, and Cedar Rapids is coming up. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. This is Lansing Lugnuts Baseball on the road from the Hawkeye State.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live. the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Dan, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking a question.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
Switch hitting Nolan Miller leads off the bottom of the first inning. First pitch from Yoel Vistel Rosario. That was coming as the PA announcer is still talking, and he hits a single right up through the middle. First man on, Miller aboard, and bring up now Jarrell Ortega, the second baseman. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. This is Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Lugnuts and the Colonels. Lansing coming in at 13-22, 44-56 for the year. While the Colonels are 23-12 and 63-38, 25 games above 500. Righty versus righty here. Lugnuts defense in a moment. Del Rosario deals. Fastball misses down and in, down and inside. The Lugnuts will have the catcher CJ Rodriguez working as the battery mate with Yoelvis today. First base Brendan Malone. Josh Wainwright is at second. Jacob Wilson's at shortstop, and at third, Avery Bielanales. The set. A left leg kick in the 1-0. Swing and a miss on the off speed. Ball and a strike on Ortega. And the outfield for the Lugnuts, Elliott is in left. In center field, Junior Perez. And in right field, it's Kobe Thomas. Grown accustomed to seeing that as the outfield, with Clark Elliott switching off with Danny Bautista Jr. A one ball, one strike break even. Ortega swings and misses. Fastball at 93. One ball and two strikes. On Jarrell Ortega, the sixth rounder last year out of Tennessee. Ortega takes his time stepping back in after getting time granted. Now we're ready to roll. Del Rosario with the sign. Black socks up to his knees. Black jerseys for the Nuts today. Swing and a miss. Ortega's gone on strikes. And there's one away in the bottom of the first inning. Here comes Kalai Rosario, the right fielder. Train not so far away in the distance. The train tracks run right beside the ballpark beyond center field. Righty to righty, no score. Fastball misses in. Ball one. Catcher Rodriguez thought that they were going to get the call, and he froze as he went to fire that ball back to the pitcher. Noah Miller at first base is a threat to run. Ten seals, one's caught. Del Rosario checks on him with a pickoff throw. Malone, though, no tag. Brent Malone saw in his peripheral. Miller had gotten back in. And Del Rosario says, all right, enough of that baseball. Give me a new one. Cedar Rapids is wearing different jerseys today on a Sunday. It is a very bright light blue. with a red stripe down the middle. Miller is dancing, not running as the fastball runs inside. 2 balls, no strikes on Rosario. Last time that we saw Yoelvis Del Rosario on the mound, it was a week ago. Last Sunday, he came in relief, fired 4 1/3 one-hit shutout innings. He lets it fly. Rosario dribbles it foul. Del Rosario got in on his hands with that fastball. So already Del Rosario has allowed as many hits today as he had his entire last time out against Quad Cities. One hit on his first pitch, then the strikeout. The pitch here, inside. Keeps on trying to hit the inside corner with that fastball. Keeps on missing, and that's ball three. It is Ben Ross waiting on deck. Miller at first, one out. 3-1 pitch to Rosario. A ground ball foul, rolling left. And I see that train passing out beyond the right field wall. There is space in between the foul pole and the second row of advertisements. And that's where I'm seeing the train pulling slowly by, left to right. The Cedar Rapids Colonels have won all 5 games that have been completed in this series. They have won 10 straight home games. Payoff pitch will wait. Pickoff, though, instead. Miller back in. Del Rosario's thus used his 2 pickoff throws. Those over again. He better have Miller picked off. A 22-year-old Del Rosario, standing 5 feet 11 inches tall, comes set. Payoff pitch. Does Miller run? He doesn't. And it's hit high in the air and foul off the right side and out of play. 3-2 it stays in Kalai Rosario. Rosario yesterday, tough game at home plate. 0-3 on 3 strikeouts. Again. Miller does run. It's grounded foul left side. Back to first base, Noah Miller. Miller, the switch hitter, and then everybody else in Cedar Rapids today, a right-handed batter against Yoelvis Del Rosario. He's ready. 3-2. Is Miller running? No. Line drive hooked down the left side, and that's foul. I think it knocked off a fan's chest and might have spilled a bit of his drink in his right hand. Picked it up off the ground to hand to a youngster. So foul. Try again, 3-2. Miller runs. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Throw down to second base. Tag in time. Strike him out, throw him out. Double play. Side retired. Inning over. Second baseman Josh Wainwright came over for the tag. And Noah Miller is caught trying to steal for the second time this year in 12 attempts. Let's go to the second inning. Lansing and Cedar Rapids. No score from Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
DJ Rodriguez converting a strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the bottom of the first inning. Yet another double play for this Lansing Lugnuts defense. No score going to the second for the Colonels right-hander Corey Lewis against Malone, Thomas, and Anales. First up, Brendan Malone, who takes a called strike one.
Correction, first baseman, number 7, Brendan Malone.
The kick and the pitch, way outside. Fastball at 90 miles an hour. The Lugnuts have thus turned 92 double plays this year, 7 more than second place South Bend. Here's the pitch to Malone. A ground ball foul up the left side. 1-2 on a man who did not finish yesterday's game. Brendan Malone was ejected for arguing balls and strikes after striking out looking. The pitch, up high, 2-2. That was by yesterday's home plate umpire, Chad Patterson. Right now, Patterson is up the right side. And it's Stacey Dunbar, the fill-in umpire, pinch-umping for Brendan Tipton. The pitch. That's called strike 3, and our argument by Malone here. He's gone looking. Second strikeout for Lewis.
Right fielder, number 8, Colby Thomas.
Corey Lewis coming into this game. This is his 8th start and his prior 7, a 2-1-4 ERA. Throws. Colby Thomas hits the first pitch, soaring left center field. How far is it going to go? Not far enough. Carson McCusker catches it in front of the warning track. Fly out to left for out number 2.
Third baseman number 1, Aurelio Anales.
So that brings up Aurelio Anales. And that's 5 batters up and 5 down against Lewis. Who winds and throws, righty to righty. Check swing, foul, tipping backward. Anales yesterday was 1-for-3 with a double. Scored the only Lugnuts run. The pitch, up and away. 1-1. He came in on a T.J. Schofield Sam RBI groundout. Lewis throws, up and inside, ball 2. That was in the top of the 3rd inning. That was his first at-bat. He doubled against the Cedar Rapids starter yesterday, Andrew Morris. And that was it for the Lugnuts offense, losing 3-1. Swing and a miss by Anales. Count is 2-2. There had been such great offensive efforts earlier in the series. Lewis throws. Anales reaches out, lines it right field to his left. Rosario can't get there down the line, sliding, and the baseball bounces over him and rolls into the corner. Anales streaks around 2nd. He's on his way for 3rd. The relay throw is late to Ross. He slides in feet first with a triple. Kick down the door. Aurelio Anales has his 4th triple of the year. And that is the Lugnuts' first base hit against Lewis.
Second baseman, number 5, Joshua Wright.
Can Aurelio get the Lugnuts' offense up and going today? Joshua Wright is the batter. Number 7 hitter in the order. 2 outs, scoreless. Righty throws to righty. Check swing. Went around too far, says the home plate umpire Dunbar. Call strike 1. Wright was 2-for-4 yesterday. The pitch, down low and away. Blocked well by catcher Cassetti. Lewis does have 4 wild pitches. Through now, I can say 35 1/3 innings. League batting just 179 against him coming in. Only 1 home run. Only 9 walks, 31 strikeouts. He throws a ground ball up the middle that Wright threw his bat at. It's Miller, the shortstop, with a play over to first. Stretch by Cavaco. Side retired. Not the first time that we have seen Joshua Wright let go his bat and make contact, but unable to bring in Anales from third base. Scoreless going to the bottom of the 2nd inning from Cedar Rapids.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Something that they were concerned about here is that they would start up the game and then it would start to rain. And it's raining right now. We're in the bottom of the second inning. There's no score between the Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels. There was rain before the game started. They thought maybe they could fit the game in. Hopefully this rain holds off. Yoelvis Del Rosario to Ben Ross. First offering is grounded to shortstop. Grabbed by Jacob Wilson. Those to first at number one. First chance today for the first rounder, Wilson. First ground out induced by Del Rosario. In the first inning, the outs were a couple of swinging strikeouts and the caught stealing at second base, Rodriguez to Jashwan Wright to get Noah Miller. Now Andrew Cassetti, right on right, one out, no score. Fastball snaps in for a called strike. Maybe I should say pops in. To the Colonel's catcher. The wind and the toss. Strike two called outside corner. Del Rosario started off today looking sharp. Cassetti is playing in game number 41. He's been one of the best Colonel's hitters. Here's the pitch. Check swing. It was away. Didn't go on appeal. Cedar Rapids as a team is hitting 235, and they're such high-end, low-end when it comes to looking at who's trying to raise their numbers and who's not doing their part. Del Rosario deals. Cassetti lays off. The pitch low and away. 2-2. So, for example, Misael Urbina's on deck, and he's hitting 176. He's had a struggle with it. Keone Cavaco hitting 181. The windup. A 2-2. And a swing and a miss. And there's strikeout number 3 for Del Rosario. Slider. Bring up Misael Urbina. The four batters with their batting average significantly higher than the team average. The pitch to Urbina, shot towards short, right through the legs of Jacob Wilson. It was sizzling. He tried to come up on it, and the ball stayed down. It did not bounce up for him. It's a base hit in the left field. Urbina on at first with a two-out single to bring up Carson McCusker.
Your baseball bingo number is over 75. Left fielder. Carson McCusker.
McCusker had a big two-run homer in his first at-bat yesterday. First batter that reliever Christian Fernandez faced. And that provided the margin. 3-1, Colonels won it. No score here. First pitch. Fastball low and away. From what I've seen of McCusker in the early going, and by the way, let me correct myself, that's been ruled an error against Jacob Wilson. E6. Official score ruling. It went through the wickets. That's a ball one pitch. And a swing and a miss. From what I've seen of Carson McCusker, I like his bat. Now, is he slow afoot? Has he not very much helped Cedar Rapids out defensively? Sure. But he can hit, and he has hit. On the pitch. Outside, he's 6'8", he's 250 pounds. He has covered the zone. Here's his third start for Cedar Rapids. He has two hits. One of them is an RBI single, and one of them is a two-run homer. And at 6'8", he stands upright. 2-1. And a foul out of play to the right side. Del Rosario is keeping everything down.
Fans, that last play
They asked for stories about Carson McCusker back home for him. He's out of Sparks, Nevada. And I heard that a broadcaster was starting to supply all of those different stories to Cedar Rapids and broadcaster Calvin Cristoforo. And apparently I think that there's a Ferris wheel story. Two outs, runner at first, the pitch, inside, ball three. I believe that he was caught pushing a ride and was banned from the park. He's a very strong man. And as a kid, he and a group of friends out having some fun. McCusker now, 25 years young, signed out of Indy Ball. Del Rosario's payoff. Runner moves, the pitch grounded foul, left side. And a kick stop down to the bullpen by Daniel Susak. This bottom of the second inning began with a ground out by Ross and a strike out of Cassetti. But Urbina reached on the error committed by the shortstop Wilson. I wonder if Jacob Wilson, if he had a second crack at that play, if he tries to block it, tries to get in front of it, rather than putting himself in front of it, trying to hop up, hoping the ball would hop up with him. Payoff. Strike three called outside corner. Del Rosario struck out two in the first. He fans two batters in the second inning, and the error is left. Onward into the third. The Lugnuts and the Colonels scoreless from Cedar Rapids.
The same house was founded to create greater economic mobility and build stronger communities through social connection. Join us at thesamehouse.org to learn more. The same house, same city, worlds apart. Let's bridge the gap.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Lugnuts coming up for the top of the third inning. Rodriguez, Elliott, and then top of the order in Perez. 0-0 between the Nuts and the Colonels. The final game of a six-game series. Corey Lewis, the right-hander, throws. C.J. Rodriguez takes ball one, low and inside. C.J. batting eighth in the order today. Yesterday he was pulled off the bench and put in as the replacement for the ejected Brendan Malone. Takes a called strike in the outside corner. 1-1. One base runner so far against Corey Lewis. And Aribio Anale's triple last inning. The step back, the leg kick, here it comes. And that pitch is outside. One off speed, two balls, one strike. Sox pulled up high for Lewis. Navy Sox with thin red stripes deals. Chopper left side, off the glove of third baseman Ross, trickling to shortstop Miller. Ross lost his footing. Rodriguez reaches first. First batter aboard in the third inning.
Left fielder, number 11, Clark Elliott.
Let me make a scoring correction. You remember when they charged that error to Jacob Wilson? They changed their mind. It's now a base hit from Misael Urbina in the bottom of the second. Here, this is called an error on the third baseman, Ross. All the while, ball went inside to Clark Elliott. Stefan Gleiberman writing in saying, "Nuts and Colonels sounds like trail mix." I was thinking the same thing. The Nuts playing the Colonels? 1-0. Elliott swats it foul out of play to the left.
Ball and a strike in the Lugnuts' ninth hitter in the order.
Out of Barrington, Illinois, Clark Elliott, attending Ann Arbor, attending the University of Michigan. Here's the pitch. Off speed inside, ball two. Love Elliott's bat. The handle is taped up in that electric lime green tape. Barrel unstained and light. The pitch. Check swing. Strike two called outside corner. Elliott began the year with Stockton and then moved up to the Lugnuts. And here he is playing in his 54th game. He's hitting 186. Rodriguez at first. Nobody out. No score. The pitch. Elliott takes ball three inside. He is waiting out Lewis, and Lewis rarely walks batters. Junior Perez in the top of the order, waiting in the wings. Shortstop Miller's right up through the middle of the diamond. Payoff. Line drive, caught by the leaping Miller, fires to first, double play. Rodriguez doubled off. Sharp, barreled contact by Clark Elliott, but Noah Miller was in the right spot at the right time. Two outs, nobody on for Junior Perez. Right-hander against right-hander. Perez struck out looking his first time, leading off the ballgame. And the pitch. Lewis hits the outside corner, strike called, with Junior shaking his head to himself. When Junior took his 0 for yesterday, that snapped a nice 8-game hitting streak. The deal, swinging a foul tip in a Cassetti's mitt. Still, Junior here in Cedar Rapids is 7 for 21. Because of the strikeout his first time up, he's 7 for 22. He was 7 for 22 in Quad Cities. The pitch, check swing, on appeal. He went. It was down. It's strike three. He's 0 for 2 with two strikeouts, and that does it. Lewis faces the minimum in the top of the third inning. Still 0-0. Go to the bottom of the third from Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Yoelvis De La Rosario, the Lugnuts starter, faces Morales, Cavaco, and Miller for the last of the third inning. That's 8-9-1 of the Cedar Rapids order. No score as of yet. A single in the first, a single in the second for Cedar Rapids. Two strikeouts in both frames for De La Rosario, who deals. Ground ball foul wide of third. Strike one for Jefferson Morales. In his second appearance in the series, and a man who I really enjoy, the way that he stands at home plate. Settles in from the right side and gets into a deep crouch. Deep crouch. There's the pitch. Pops foul. Out of play to the right side. Now he crouches deep, but as the pitch comes in, suddenly he gets higher with it. Stands up out of that crouch. Takes the big swing. Del Rosario to the plate. Down and away with a slider. One ball and two strikes. Morales, in the game that he played earlier in the series on Wednesday, was 1-for-4 with a triple and a run scored. Cedar Rapids 1-5-3. 1-2 pitch. Popped out, back and out of play. He's hitting .258 through 38 games with 6 doubles, that one triple, and 4 home runs. 11 knocked in. That rising and falling above his right shoulder. The deal. Fastball low. 2-2. Now see, Jefferson Morales stands when he's standing to his utmost in terms of posture. He's 5 feet 8 inches tall. But when he gets into that crouch, how do you find the zone? 2-2. Swing and a miss. You can just give him a slider and strike him out. 5 strikeouts for Del Rosario. Let's do some trivia question. Let's do some trivia of the game. I think that I had been slacking the last couple of days, hadn't I? Got to get back to it, especially with Adam rejoining me on Tuesday. Keone Cavaco takes the ball outside. Today in baseball history, I can even give you the year. It was August the 6th. It was 1967. Who set a major league record? As Cavaco swings, shoots it towards short. There's Wilson. Down to his left, picks it up, spins and fires to first to get him. Two gone. Superb by the shortstop, Wilson. That ball was sizzled. Top of the order time in Noah Miller, who set the major league record for hitting into his fourth career triple play. Oh, no. Del Rosario's pitch. Strike called outside corner. To hit into a major league record triple plays in your career, who hit into his fourth today in 1967. His off-speed is low. Count is one ball and one strike. Isn't that a record that you would not want to have? Most triple plays hit into. Email NJ Goldstrass at Lansing Lugnuts. 1-1 is down and in. Slider. On appeal, he went. Bases umpire Patterson threw up the right fist. As the rain is sprinkling down, one ball and two strikes on Noah Miller, the switch hitter, batting left. So JGOLDSTRASS at LansingLugnuts.com. Send in your guesses. This is easily researchable, I would assume. The 1-2. Lifted high, out to left center field. Clark Elliott trots over. He's there. He's got the catch. And Elvis De La Rosario is still 1-2-3 third inning. Onward into the fourth, looking for the game's first run from Cedar Rapids in the rain.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Jacob Wilson, who just pulled off a stunner defensively in the bottom of the third inning, leads off the top of the fourth. Roddy Roddy, no score. Corey Lewis winds and throws. Drops it a little up, a little in, and ball one. In Wilson's first at-bat, he flied out to very deep center. Actually, I should say left center. The left fielder McCusker did catch it. The pitch, swing and a miss, way out in front. One ball, one strike on Wilson, the native of Thousand Oaks, California. He was a Thousand Oaks Lancer. The break even. Driven foul off the right side. He jumped at that pitch. Now the count is 1-2. Wilson, Batista Jr., and Malone, 2-3-4 here against Lewis. Shakes off a sign. Now he's ready. Fires. Bounced it in. Ball two. From Thousand Oaks to Grand Canyon, GCU and the Antelopes. Wilson with the Black Sox pulled up high. Pitch on its way. Ground ball foul. Pulled down the left side. And the staggering thing about Wilson's offensive statistics at GCU, the strikeout numbers jump out at you. Played in 155 games, struck out 31 times. He walked 61 times. Five strikeouts in total last year. Five strikeouts in total this year. 2-2. Up high, ball three. Corey Lewis, in general, lives in the 80s and really 81. He has a fastball at 90. A payoff. Very high, all the way to the backstop. Bat is flipped. Wilson jogs down to first. Catcher Cassetti goes to retrieve. Jacob Wilson is aboard. And the first walk given out by Lewis. So now Danny Batista Jr., who grounded out to third his first time, looking to extend his hitting streak and his on-base streak. Second baseman Ortega shades to his right up the middle as Lewis nips one in across the inside corner at 81. I think that 81 is his knuckleball. I think he throws a hard knuckler. Spins, throws to first. That was also, 81 or so. Wilson, no troubles getting back in. Jacob this past year was stealing bases for GCU. 8 steals and 9 attempts, joining a Lugnuts team that loves to run. The pitch, and he takes a called strike inside corner. That's the fastball at 90. Lewis, a 9th round selection last year. What a peculiar sort of pitcher he is. Knuckler and fastball. Deals the 0-2. Bounced straight back. Went to the fastball away. Throws over to first base. Wilson back in. Diving. Looking ahead on the upcoming Lansing Lugnut schedule, because we are coming back home following this game, about a 7-hour drive or so. Lewis is 0-2. Swing and a foul tip, hung on to by Cassetti. Strike three. Danny has gone on strikes. Lugnuts in the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Tacos and tall boys on Tuesday to get things going. A dog days of summer on a summer fun day on Wednesday at 1.05 p.m. Joey Chestnut in the ballpark on Thursday, 7.05 p.m. Lansing playing as the Olive Burgers on a Coors Light Thirsty Thursday. Pitch to Brendan Malone. Strike called outside corner. Nothing to nothing. Top of the fourth, one on, one out for the Nuts. Malone struck out looking against Lewis his first time up. Lewis offers, dropped it down and in, and one ball, one strike. So that Joey Chestnut game, that Thursday, August the 10th, that's going to be some kind of fun. Coors Light Thirsty Thursday, $2 drafts, $5 domestics. It's also going to be a $1 hot dog night. I mean, Joey Chestnut's there, why not? Over to first base, Wilson back in. That's how Joey became famous, with Nathan's famous. On the 4th of July, the number one eater in the world. Balk was called on Lewis, I believe, or was it? No. Wilson started for second and then was told, get back to first base. Corey Lewis spun about, looked at the bases umpire, Chad Patterson, who said, no, my mistake, we're good. The 1-1. High and outside. Two balls, one strike on the dangerous slugger Malone. Malone has two RBI doubles and a home run in this series. He is 6 for 18. The pitch fouled back off the backstop. Caromed high into the air. And bat boy Jun Jun, who's been here since the early 2000s, goes over and retrieves. Two balls, two strikes. Go to LansingLugNuts.com. Get your tickets. Support the Lugnuts. Home starting Tuesday against Fort Wayne for six games in a row. The pitch, Malone fouls it up and away off the right side. And then after that series ends, August the 8th through August the 13th against the Tin Caps, the Lugnuts stay home and welcome in the Great Lakes Loons August the 15th through August the 20th. So August the 8th through August the 20th, one day off, 12 games at home. A 2-2. Malone spoils that pitch foul. Colby Thomas is waiting on deck. I mentioned August the 10th, Joey Chestnut coming to Jackson Field. August the 11th and August the 12th, Friday and Saturday coming up, we'll have LAFCU fireworks each night. Lewis's pitch, bounced it in and away from catcher Cassetti, kicking off to the right. A wild pitch moving Wilson up to second. So now a runner in scoring position with the count at 3-2 to Brennan Malone. First base now unoccupied. And Lewis is struggling with it. You'd figure for a guy who utilizes a knuckleball as often as he does, that he would walk more than he does. That's his fifth wild pitch. But Jacob Wilson was just his 10th walk. Payoff? Malone hits a high fly to center. Urbina started back, now comes in. He waits, makes the catch. Wilson back to second. Malone is at number two. And it's up to Colby Thomas to try to bring in Wilson to score the game's first run. We're also going to have a bobblehead giveaway coming up. That will be next weekend, Saturday, August the 12th, Sunday, August the 13th. It will be a Copa weekend, Copa de la Diversión, at a Sugar Skull Lansing Locos bobblehead. Here's the pitch. Colby Thomas takes a called strike at the letters on the knuckler. So once again, go to LansingLugNuts.com or MILB.com/Lansing and get your tickets. Great games forthcoming. I look back to Wilson, then the pitch. Fooled him, went around too far. Strike two on the pitch down. Thomas flied out to left field his first time. Right-hander dealing to right-hander. Wilson runs, pitches outside, throw down to third base is high. Ross brought down the tag late. Wilson slides in feet first with a steal. Jacob Wilson notches his first stolen base as a member of the Lugnuts. Now he's 90 feet closer, which matters considering the potential for a wild pitch for the knuckleballer. Lewis deals. Check swing, that got away! Right through Cassetti. Here comes Wilson in from third to score. However, it's strike three and Thomas never ran. And the throw goes down to first base from catcher Cassetti. Kabako receives. Strikeout completed. Colby Thomas was still standing there in the right-hand batter's box. They had appealed to check swing. The bases umpire Chad Patterson said yes, he went around. Wilson's run wiped away. It is strikeout number five for Lewis. And we remain scoreless going to the bottom of the fourth inning from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Lansing Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
We'll be right back.
the Lugnuts could have just taken a 1-0 lead. However, Kobe Thomas did not run to first base on a drop third strike. Throw went down as Jacob Wilson was coming in from third. Lugnuts denied. First pitch of the bottom of the fourth inning, grounded foul wide of third by Jarrell Ortega. Strike one to the number two hitter in the Cedar Rapids order. 0-0, no score. Ortega, Rosario, and Ross against Roddy. Elvis Del Rosario looking good today, kicking and dealing. Slung that pitch in maybe a little bit high, according to the home plate umpire Dunbar. One ball and one strike on Ortega. Struck out his first time against Del Rosario, who has whiffed five deals. Low, ball two. Del Rosario fanned Ortega and Rosario in the first inning. Cassetti and McCusker in the second. And Morales in the third. Well, those batters are not necessarily easy strikeout victims. 2-1. A swing and a miss. Slide piece from Del Rosario. He's utilizing the slider, the changeup, and the fastball very well. Two balls and two strikes. Nobody out. Scoreless from Cedar Rapids. Ortega, the second baseman, waits. Here's the pitch. High fly out to right center. Perez from center field trots to his left. He's under. He waits. And the ball comes down into his glove.
Your baseball bingo number is B9.
Right fielder, number 25, Kalai Rosario.
With one away in the bottom of the fourth inning, there's Kalai Rosario. On the pitch. Down and away. So it's the battle of Del Rosario against Rosario. The pitcher, Uelvis, of Rosario, from Rosario. A ball one offering.
Here's Adam Jackson.
That's fouled back. That's fouled back, and the count is now one ball and one strike. Kalai Rosario, the right-handed hitting right fielder. One of the best players in the Midwest League. The pitch, inside. And the count is two balls and one strike. And I was talking to Calvin Cristoforo, who broadcasts the games for Cedar Rapids, and I started asking him, who do we think is going to be the MVP in the league this year? And I made the case that it might be Rosario. 2-1, swing and a miss, strike two. So this is where we really start looking around the league and checking out the stats, and there's Kalai, first in the league in OPS right now. Came in at 867. He's tied for the league lead in home runs. He is fourth in the league in runs scored. He's first in the league in total bases. Pitch on its way. Went around too far on the slider away. He strikes out again. Del Rosario's sixth K. One third of them are Kalai Rosario.
Third baseman, number 15, Ben Ross.
Rosario is tied for first in the Midwest League in RBIs, second in the league in extra base hits, fourth in doubles, tied for seventh in hits total. I think that he's got a pretty darn good argument to be considered heavily. Ben Ross now takes a called strike from Del Rosario. Two outs, nobody on. Yoavis looks for the 1-2-3 frame. Ross is tied for fourth in the MWO with 14 homers. He takes a ball, skipping down and away. The slider missing. Ross grounded out to shortstop Wilson his first time. Ben Ross is eighth in the league in RBIs, ninth in extra base hits. He's been outstanding. Pitch on its way. Check swing, ground ball, two hops down to first baseman Malone, right to his bag. Ross was just a spectator. He was one of the last to recognize that ball actually came off my bat, and I didn't even want to swing. Perfect frame, Uelvis Del Rosario. Into the fifth inning. It's scoreless from Cedar Rapids.
What's up? This is Will.i.am. I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know, if you're 45 and older, go get a colon cancer screening right now. Ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine which screening option is right for you.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Into the fifth inning in a scoreless game from Cedar Rapids. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler here with you. The Lugnuts batters 6-7-8. Anales Rutt-Rodriguez. Avery Bill Anales lays down a bunt. First pitch from Corey Lewis. Gloves, throws, got him at first. That ball was a little bit to the left of the mound, but it was bunted sharply, and so Lewis quickly off the hill, and he was right there waiting for it. No troubles.
Second baseman, number 5, Joshua Wright.
In that case, if you're Avery Bill Anales, I think that the firmness of the bunt was good, but you have to get it farther away from the pitcher. Make him break a sweat. Here's Joshua Wright on the pitch. Drops in for a called strike. I think that's the knuckleball. 80 miles an hour if it is. One of the harder knuckleballs that you'll ever hear about. The pitch. A ground ball past the mound to the second baseman, Ortega, who throws to first in time. And there's two outs. C.J. Rodriguez comes up. And we are skimming right along. For Corey Lewis, just one hit allowed now through 4 2/3 innings. The Anales triple back in the second. Lewis throws. CJ grounds foul left side. And it's continuing to rain. Now here in the broadcast booth at Veterans Memorial Stadium, I should share with you, there's zero air conditioning. So earlier in the series, it was a sauna, and a 1, down and away, a 1 ball and 1 strike. But now, with the roof overhang and the wind, it actually feels very pleasant, let me tell you. Lewis throws. Rodriguez grounds it routinely left side. Third baseman Ross picks it up, guides a high throw over, but pulled down by Cavaco, who greets Rodriguez with a tag. And that's a routine 1-2-3 frame. For Corey Lewis, only thing that wasn't routine was the Ross throw. Keone Cavaco made sure that it didn't matter. We're going to the bottom of the fifth inning, halfway to the house, and we remain scoreless from Cedar Rapids.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
We enter the last of the fifth inning in a scoreless game. Corey Lewis and Yoelvis Del Rosario matching up zeros for the Colonels and the Lugnuts, respectively. It's time now for the Lugnuts Yoelvis Del Rosario to see if he can throw up a zero and hold serve for the bottom of the fifth inning. He's allowed two hits, a single in the first for Noah Miller, a single in the second for Misael Urbina. He has struck out six batters through four. He has not walked a hitter yet. It takes on Cassetti, followed by Urbina, and then McCusker. The pitch to Andrew Cassetti. That's skied foul right side. First baseman Brendan Malone is over, but out of real estate. And the ball back into the red seats. Strike one. On the right-handed hitting catcher Cassetti, the native Pennsylvanian, out of Eagleville. Here's the pitch. That's called the strike on the outside corner. Every time I see Eagleville, I imagine an eagle's screech. There's a number of different Eaglevilles in the country. I know too. Swing and a miss. Andrew Cassetti is gone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. 7 Ks for Del Rosario. I note that Eagleville is north of Philadelphia. It's right next to a city called Trooper. Here's Misael Urbina, who taps the first pitch foul, rolling back and to the left. Urbina was a big-time international free agent who was signed out of Valencia, Venezuela. One out, no score. Fastball runs up and inside at 95 from Del Rosario. Urbina reached on a ground ball through the shortstop, Wilson, his first time up, was initially ruled an error on Jacob Wilson. Then it was changed to a single. Here's the pitch. That's low. That hometown of Valencia, Venezuela, I remember it because that's where the former Lansing Lugnut, the current Oakland Athletic, Carlos Perez, is from. The pitch. Low. Carson McCusker waits on deck. One out, nobody on. Nothing to nothing. The pitch. Check swing. Did he go? Yes, he did. That strike three as the ball got away from C.J. Rodriguez and all the way to the backstop. Urbina took off for first, and he reaches. So strikeout number 8 for Yoelvis Del Rosario, but a wild pitch. And a runner's aboard. So bring up Carson McCusker with one on and one out following two strikeouts. No score. Righty to righty. Fastball for a called strike one. Center fielder Perez is shaded to his right toward left center for the big man. Pitch on its way. Fly ball. Center field actually toward right center for Perez, but quickly ranging over to make the catch. And Urbina back to first base.
Your baseball bingo number is M42.
Jefferson Morales steps in next.
Left fielder. Correction designated hitter number 2, Jefferson.
Carson McCusker being 6'8". That does bring to mind an interesting bit of trivia. Roddy. The pitch to Jefferson Morales on its way. Ground ball pulled foul left side. That is the tallest player to ever start a game at shortstop is O'Neill Cruz, Pittsburgh Pirates. He's 6'7". Tallest catcher ever, Grayson Griner, 6'6". The tallest position player, period, Tony Clark, 6'8" tall. Carson McCusker would tie that. Jefferson Morales takes a pitch outside. Seeing who else has been 6'8" among position players in baseball history. Just Tony the Tiger, Tony Clark, and Nate Freiman, the former Fort Wayne Tin Cap. A one ball, one strike offering. Just missed off the outside corner. Two balls, one strike on Jefferson Morales. 0-0. Bunch of bagels up there on the big video board. The brand new video board in Cedar Rapids. Del Rosario sets. He delivers. Chopper hit up the third base side, grabbed by Anales, losing his cap. Throws it across the diamond. Corner to corner in time.
Number
inning over. We're scoreless through five. Going to the sixth inning. From Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium, looking for the game's first run.
Our excellence is shining, yet so many of us are dying. Colon cancer is silently killing our people, our friends, and family. So screen we must. We do this for all of us. The health revolution must begin. From diagnosis to death rates, colon cancer can no longer win. Ravaging Black communities, colon screenings are a must. They're recommended for those 45 and up to pinpoint and treat the signs. If detected early, colon cancer is treatable, 91% beatable. It's on us to stand up to cancer once and for all.
What's up? This is Will I Am, and I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know that colon cancer affects the Black community at a higher rate. But there's hope. Getting screened for colon cancer can save your life. To learn about your screening options, including easy-to-use at-home tests, ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine which screening option is right for you.
So now we go to the sixth inning, 0-0. Lugnuts and Colonels, 9-1-2 coming up for Lansing. Elliott, Perez, Wilson. Righty Corey Lewis, ready to roll.
Clark Elliott.
I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. There is now action in the Cedar Rapids pen. Clark Elliott, the left-handed batting, nine-hitter. First pitch, off-speed in there, knuckleball for a called strike. That was pitch number 66 for Lewis. 65 pitches, 44 strikes through 5 scoreless. Yoelvis Del Rosario, 68 pitches. Elliott swings, loops it in the air, caught by the third baseman Ross. Just a jam shot and out number 1.
Center fielder number 4, Junior Perez.
Back to the top of the order for Junior Perez, a third time around. 0 for 2, 2 strikeouts against Lewis. 2 of his 5. Right-hander deals to right-hander. It's bunted, third base side. Lewis off the mound. Bare hands, throws off his back heel. Safe at first base. Anales was unable to bunt his way aboard to lead off the fifth inning. Perez does so here in the sixth. A bunt single. The old bingo.
The shortstop, number 2, Jacob Wilson.
Second Lugnuts hit. One on, one out. And Junior Perez a threat to run. Lewis faces Jacob Wilson. He was 0 for 1 with a fly to center. A walk. Stranded at third base in the fourth inning. No score in the sixth. The pitch. Check swing. Low ball 1. I do encourage you, come out to Lansing, Michigan, just to see Jacob Wilson play. Offensively, defensively, on the bases. He's lived up to his billing. The pitch. Chopper hit towards short. In comes Miller. He grabs. He throws to first. Gets the out there. Perez too much speed. Dashing into second. Wilson's out number 2. That ball had some weird spin on it too, because he hit the knuckleball. And the knuckleball is not supposed to spin at all.
So
that was all off the end of Wilson's bat beyond the mound and then spinning sideways as it reached Noah Miller. Miller's a good defensive shortstop. Turned down that out, potentially at second. Danny Bautista Jr. fouls off the first pitch he sees. Off the railing, bouncing down. John the catch. Tipping his helmet to the crowd. The bat boy read that ball all the way and soaks it in. They love him here in Cedar Rapids, and they've loved him for years. The pitch. Up high to Bautista Jr. One ball and one strike. I'd like to see Ethan make a play like that in Lansing. 0-0. Each team with 2 hits. Perez flitting at second. The pitch. Knuckleball flared over first. Down in right field. It's a base hit. Junior Perez speeds around to score. Danny Bautista Jr. is on at first as right fielder Rosario plays it into second. RBI single, Danny Bautista Jr. 1-0 Lugnuts. That is his patented base hit. The Texas leaguer over the first baseman. Hitting streak for Danny, 13 games. On base streak, 18 games. Ties him with Trenkel and Susak for the team lead. Brendan Malone now. Skies the first pitch he sees. Right side of the infield. Second baseman Ortega onto the grass. Stepping toward the dirt. Makes the catch. That'll do it for the top of the sixth inning. Lansing leads. Perez bunts his way on. Bautista Jr. bloops him in. 5.5 complete. Lugnuts 1. Colonels nada.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
The Lugnuts score first as we go to the bottom of the sixth inning. 1-0 Lansing and the Bautista Jr. RBI single knocking home Junior Perez. Last of the sixth, Yoelvis Del Rosario against 9-1-2. Keone Cavaco, first man up, first pitch, swing and a miss. Fastball exploding past him at 94. Cavaco, Miller, Ortega against Yoelvis Del Rosario. Pitch number 70 today. Slider fouled back. 0-2. Cavaco grounded out to shortstop Wilson his first time. Del Rosario holds his glove up in front of his face. Rocks. Fires. Slider. Strike three called. Put it in there. Middle. And down goes Cavaco. 9th strikeout for Del Rosario.
Number 1, Noah Miller.
And it's raining harder and harder in Cedar Rapids. Pitching adverse conditions. Del Rosario threw it all. Winds and throws to Noah Miller. Tapper, foul, grabbed by on deck hitter Ortega. Strike 1. First pitch slider. He has the feel for it this afternoon. Lugnuts looking to prevent a six-game sweep at 0-1. Stayed outside. I think right now what you don't want to have is a walk with these conditions as the rain is intensifying. And Noah Miller, great patience and great speed. The windup and the pitch. Low. A 1-1 for Del Rosario. 2 strikeouts in the first inning, which ended on a strike-em-out, throw-em-out double play. Miller, after singling, getting nabbed at second. He swings and lines it left field. Elliott over, makes the catch. He was crouching down a bit as he did so. Miller lines out for out number 2. 1-0 Lugnuts. Bring up Jarrell Ortega. Ortega is struck out, and he is flied to center. Right-hander dealing to right-hander. Fastball. Strike called outside corner. 1-0 Lugnuts. Del Rosario is looking to complete 6 scoreless innings. The leg kick. The pitch. Low and away. Cedar Rapids continues to warm up a right-handed arm in their pen. So I wonder if Corey Lewis is going to be done. There it comes. Fly ball pounded down the right field line. Slicing foul. Home run distance.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's 50-50 rat ball has been played. Thank you for playing and supporting the Colonels Foundation 50-50 rat ball.
1-2 the count. Del Rosario looks for a 10th strikeout. It's been mainly the slider. A fastball slider and a changeup in his repertoire. He throws. Slider low and away. 2-2 on Ortega. No action in the Lugnuts pen, nor should there be. The windup. The pitch. Slider way outside. Del Rosario was acquired by the Oakland Athletics as the first overall pick in the Rule 5 draft minor league portion last December. This is the very best that we have seen him. He was the Lugnuts opening day starter. A payoff. Slider bounced in low and away. He has walked Ortega, and there's his first walk. Fourth base runner for the Colonels. There was a leadoff single in the first inning by Miller, a two-out single in the second inning from Misael Urbina, and then Urbina reached in the fifth inning on a drop third strike and a wild pitch. Del Rosario twice earlier this year worked 6 innings. Nothing like this. Kalai Rosario is the batter. Colonels down 1-0. The pitch up high, ball one. On April 13th, 6 innings, 5 runs, 3 home runs allowed to West Michigan in a loss. And then on July the 2nd at Great Lakes, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 Ks in a loss. The pitch, that's low. This is the old Del Rosario versus Rosario matchup. Del Rosario from the Dominican, Rosario from Hawaii. And now there is action in the Lugnuts pen, the 6-5 Pedro Santos, the native Cuban. 2 outs, Ortega at first, a 1-0 Lugnuts lead. The pitch. Chopper pulled down toward third, 1 big hop for Anales, fires to second base, and they get the out there at the keystone on Ortega. That does it for the 6th inning. Yoelvis Del Rosario took his black glove, fired it against his left leg in happiness and relief. He is through the 6th inning, and we are going to the 7th. Del Rosario and the Lugnuts up 1-0 in Cedar Rapids.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
A call to right-hander Malik Barrington as we go to the top of the 7th inning. Cedar Rapids takes out starter Corey Lewis. In the end for Lewis, 6 innings of work. He was really good today. He allowed only 3 base hits. Meanwhile, he struck out 5 Lugnuts. He walked just 1. However, the 1 run allowed is the only run of the game. Danny Bautista Jr. singling in Junior Perez with 2 outs in the 6th inning. And now Lewis is out in line to lose. and Malik Barrington is in. We saw Barrington pitch earlier in the series. Overall for the year, 4.15 ERA in 28 appearances, 47 and two-thirds innings, 58 strikeouts, 30 walks, league batting just 181 against him. He is 25 years of age out of Jacksonville. He'll take on 5, 6, and 7, Thomas Annalason right in the rain. Colby Thomas takes the first pitch inside, ball one. 1-0, the Lugnuts are leading. And the finale of six from Cedar Rapids, looking for their first win in the series. Righty, righty. Barrington to the plate. Low for ball two. Against the starting pitcher, Colby Thomas was 0 for 2 with a flyout to left and a strikeout swinging. Hang on. The bases umpire, Chad Patterson, has come down the first baseline. He was talking to Malik Barrington, and I wonder what he was talking to him about. Remember that the home plate umpire, Stacy Dunbar, is the pinch umpire, the substitute umpire for the injured Brandon Tipton. That's a two-ball offering. Colby takes inside. So Dunbar is the older one. Chad Patterson, the prospect umpire, working his way up. I think Malik Barrington was going to his mound, going to his mouth on the mound in this rain. A 3-0. Fastball called a strike in the outside corner. You get Colby Thomas on with his great speed. Watch out. And the conditions are getting wetter and wetter in Cedar Rapids. They're playing through. Barrington's 3-1. High for ball four. Barrington does not look right. But when he does go wrong, it is with bases on balls.
Third baseman number one, Uriel Anglais.
Thomas on at first, a threat to run. 6 for 7 in stolen bases through his first 23 games. Uriel Anglais is 1 for 2 with a triple today. Batting from the right side, waiting. Right-hander throws up very high. That was a breaking ball that slipped. And Barrington is gesturing around to the bases umpire Patterson. I think he doesn't like the landing area. Aha! Barrington is looking at that landing spot to the front of the rubber, kicking around at the dirt. And they have called for the head groundskeeper for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. They are going to do some mound maintenance in this top of the seventh inning. Head groundskeeper jogging out, and two members of the crew. Barrington is backed up. He's gesturing with his right hand. He's saying, I can't pitch with a mound that's like this. So they're applying that quick dry to the landing spot. Quick dry is getting splashed down, pour it all out to the front of the mound, and then getting raked right over. Well, I have this moment looking around the Oakland Athletics organization on this Sunday afternoon. AAA Vegas will be in action later on today, taking on the Albuquerque Isotopes. Yesterday, it was the Aviators beating Albuquerque 7-3. Kevin Smith, the former Lugnut, 3 hits, a single, a double, and a home run. The AA Midland Rockhounds lost to the Frisco Rough Riders 6-2, but Will Simonite homered. He knocked in both of the Midland runs. He also doubled in the losing cause. Midland sends Jack Cushing to the mound today against the Rough Riders. The Stockton Ports are in action. The Single-A California League squad yesterday, they lost a thriller. They fell 9-8. Today, they're up 6-2. Jose Mujica, the first baseman, a 3-run homer. That knocked in Yaniel LeBoy and Henry Bolte. Both LeBoy and Bolte have base hits, and they've drawn walks. B.J. Cook has an RBI. He scored a run. Pedro Pineda, a base hit, a steal. He scored a run. 6-2 early. Let's resume action here. Malik Barrington to Uriel Anglais, the ball one pitch. Line drive left side off the glove of shortstop Miller. Base hit left field. Thomas checks into second. McCusker plays it in. A single for Uriel Anglais, and he has a two-hit game. The Lugnuts have runners at first and second base. Now the key is gain some distance, get more comfortable, leading 1-0 top of the seventh inning, and nobody out. Josh Wainwright is 0-2, grounding out to shortstop and to second. Ground ball here, Cedar Rapids will try to turn it into two, if not three. Righty to righty. Popped up, but foul. Off to the right. First baseman Cavaco hoping. That's out of play. And bouncing up into the stands, then up into the upper deck. Strike one. There is one, let me count. One, two, three upper deck sections here. Section 200, 201, and 202. That is the upper deck, and it's first base side. Everything around is suites beyond those. But those bleacher seats extend down. It's a 1-1 break even. Right shortens up, pushes a bunt up the first base side. That ball stays fair all the way to the bag. Cavaco picked it up, steps on the base for the out, but the sacrifice works. Thomas over to third, Anales up to second.
The catcher, number 21, C.J. Rodriguez.
Right off the bat, that bunt was so firm and it hugged the grass, and I wonder if the wet conditions helped it too. It just stayed straight all the way down. Second and third, one out for C.J. Rodriguez, forces the infield to come in for Cedar Rapids. They're already down 1-0. Righty, righty. Malik Barrington sets. Here's the pitch. Fastball low and away, ball one. Ross, Miller, Ortega, Cavaco, third to short to second to first, in support of the reliever. Barrington delivers. Fly ball pounded out to center. Urbina backs up. He's got a play. He's got the catch. Runners tag at both second and third. Thomas scores standing. Anales over to third as the throw comes into shortstop. Sack fly C.J. Rodriguez. 2-0 Lansing. For Rodriguez, it is his team-leading sixth sacrifice fly of the year. Picks up his 25th run batted in. So a walk, a single, sacrifice bunt, a sack fly, two outs, runner at third for Clark Elliott. Left-handed batter. The righty reliever Barrington offers. Line drive right center field. Urbina backs to his left to make the catch and retire the side. That ball was well struck by Elliott. As it was, the Lugnuts add one and leave one at third base. So as we go to the bottom of the seventh inning, stretch it out. Lugnuts 2, Colonels nada.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The lead is 2-0, going to the bottom of the seventh inning from Cedar Rapids. One of the sixth against Corey Lewis, one of the seventh against Malik Barrington for the Lugnuts offense. And now Lansing brings out the right-handed reliever Pedro Santos in the rain. Can Santos command in these conditions? When he's gone wrong, it has been with location. When he's gone right, he is dominant. Close the book on Yoel Vistel Rosario. 6 innings, 2 hits, both of them singles. Del Rosario walked 1, did not allow a run, and struck out 9. And the Lugnuts are 9 outs away from a victory in Cedar Rapids to send them on the road back home. 6'5", 240-pound right-hander Santos out of Trinidad, Cuba, who then crossed into Haiti and then to the Dominican to train and then eventually sign with the Oakland Athletics as an international free agent 5 years ago. At the time, Santos was 18 when he signed. Now the 23-year-old takes on Ross, Cassetti, and Urbina, 4-5-6. He is returning from Tommy John surgery. Pedro Santos started the year in Stockton. Has pitched to Ben Ross, right-hander to right-hander. Up high, ball one. Ross grounded to shortstop and grounded to first base against the starter Del Rosario. Black Sox pulled up high for Santos. Pitch is on its way. Skied foul to the right. One ball, one strike for Ross. Fastball 96 miles per hour. Santos' overall numbers with the Lugnuts. 5 appearances coming in, 8 2/3 innings, 3 unearned runs. ERA is 0. His 1-1 pitch. Fouled straight back. Strike 2. Only 2 hits allowed by Santos in his first 38 batters faced. 0.71 average. But 9 walks compared to 11 strikeouts. One of those walks intentional. That's what I mean in terms of he's averaging a walk an inning. He's averaging over a strikeout an inning. As long as he throws strikes, you figure he should be okay. That stuff is great. 1-2. Tried to drop in the curve. He got the call. Strike 3, says the home plate umpire Dunbar. Boy, that curve looked up. And Stacy Dunbar rings up Ben Ross. And one away in the bottom of the 7th inning. Andrew Cassetti now, 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts. Righty to righty, 2-0 Lansing the lead. The pitch, fastball way outside, ball 1. Today in Major League Baseball history was your trivia question of the game. The trivia question of the game is, well, which player hit into the most career triple plays in baseball history? It happened today that the record was set, 1-0, up high. I even gave you the year. It was 1967, August the 6th. Who did it? Dubiously. A 2-0, misses low and away. 3 balls and no strikes to Cassetti. 1 out, nobody on. Jay Goldstrass at LansingLugnuts.com. I'll give you a little bit more time if you need it. Misael Urbina's on deck. Rain coming down. Santos's pitch. Missed inside. 4-pitch walk for Cassetti. Strikeout and a walk so far against Santos. This is what we have seen. But the rain is coming down harder and harder. On the top half of this inning, Malik Barrington had the ground crew come out and check in with the front of the mound and put some turfus down. Luis Baez was calling out to Pedro Santos saying, do you need any more? How's that mound looking? And the Lugnuts bullpen down the left side. I see Daniel Susak is moving a folding chair. Here's the pitch. That's a called strike to start off Misael Urbina. Well, the answer to your trivia question of the game is Brooks Robinson, the great Baltimore Orioles third baseman. I know one. Strike 2 called inside corner. Brooks Robinson hitting into his 4th career triple play. It occurred in 1967 on August the 6th. Now, he did not hit into any more triple plays in his career as the whole Lugnuts bullpen is vacating. Everybody's coming in. Everybody grabbed a folding chair. Some have a couple, and they're all coming in. Dugout third base side. Santos is 0-2. Popped up and backing out of play. Urbina stays alive. Now, Brooks Robinson could hit into those triple plays. He could also turn them. And during the 1973 season, on July 7th against the Oakland Athletics, he started a triple play, 5-4-3. And then fast forward, September 20th, he did it again. Curveball, strike 3 called, inside corner. Urbina is gone. Strikeout, walk, strikeout against Santos here in the last of the 7th inning. Now Santos is digging around with his spikes to the back of the hill.
left fielder, number 47, Carson McCusker.
The Lugnuts are leading 2-0. That is key. Should the umpires determine that this game can't continue because of these field conditions, it's getting wetter and wetter. Two outs, Gassetti at first. Carson McCusker, the potential game-tying run with power. Righty-righty, the deal. It's fouled off into the screen, and there goes the bat up the left side toward the Lugnuts pen. Stevie Emanuels was jogging down to the bullpen to get some more things out. He was the closest to getting that bat. He picked it up. He went as if he would hurl it all the way back to McCusker. And then he gives it to the manager and third base coach, Brian Dinkelman. McCusker is going to need a little bit more stick-em on that handle. There is the potential for peril. That being that McCusker is such a big-time slugger. And if he gets a hold of one, as he did yesterday, this game would be tied. He had a two-run homer way out to left field against Christian Fernandez yesterday. And that two-run homer, those were the last runs scored by Cedar Rapids. That was their last base hit, I believe, of the game yesterday. And they won the game by that score of 3-1. Well, they're down right now, 2-0. There's two outs. It's the bottom of the seventh. An 0-1 pitch on its way. Fastball high. Gassetti at first base. I said yesterday that he wasn't a threat to run. And then he tried to run, but the pitch was fouled away. He has not tried a stolen base as a member of the Colonels. A 1-1 pitch. Curveball low. Ball two. McCusker attended Folsom Lake College. He was drafted in the 26th round out of Folsom Lake College in Folsom, California by the Brewers. He didn't sign. Went on to Oklahoma State University. Didn't get drafted. Played in independent baseball, and there he signed with the Twins out of Tri-City. Swings and misses the pitch away. The cutter from Santos. And the count is 2-2. Can Pedro Santos strike out the side? With Tri-City in 37 games, McCusker had 17 home runs, knocked in 51, hit .433. Santos kicks and deals. A little low. 3-2. Jefferson Morales is on deck. After the Twins signed him, they shipped him to Fort Myers, where he hit 7 homers in 25 games. He is 6'8", weighs in at 250 pounds. Gassetti will run now. Two outs. Payoff. Strike three called at the knees on the inside corner. Santos got him with the fastball. Pedro Santos strikes out three, all of them looking to end the seventh inning. And we're going to the eighth in the rain in Cedar Rapids. 2-0 Lugnuts.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Well, Pedro Santos strikes out three in the bottom of the seventh inning, and here we go into the eighth. Lugnuts leading 2-0 and looking for more against Cedar Rapids. For the fans, they've been rained on, They have not seen anything from their first place team in the West Division. Meanwhile, the Lugnuts are going to send up these batters for the top of the eighth inning against the righty Malik Barrington, who just gave up a run in his first inning of work in the seventh on a sack fly by C.J. Rodriguez. It's the top of the order, and that means Junior Perez, Jacob Wilson, and Danny Bautista Jr. Barrington continues his warm-up tosses. We've got a brief delay before those warm-ups because the grounds crew is called back out to apply a ton of the quick dry, the turf is to the batter's boxes, the catcher's box, that whole home plate area. Barrington continues to kick around at the landing spot. He was significantly bothered. And let's see how he manages here as he takes on a trio of tough hitters. In the sixth inning in a scoreless game, Junior Perez bunted his way on, took second on a ground out by Wilson, and then he scored on the Danny Bautista Jr. flare for the game's first run. Righty, righty. Barrington sets, kicks, throws. Junior takes, strike called outside corner. I've been doing this the last couple of days. I'll do a few more of Tim Haggerty's Tales from the Dugout. Those wild tales from around minor league baseball that Tim found in his research. Barrington's 0-1. Up very high. Tim is the voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas. And he, in putting in his research, he found some things in minor league baseball that, well, I appreciate that he found them. I would not believe them. 1-1. Strike two called down the middle. For example, in 1912, the Pacific Coast League batting title was won by a dead man. Heine Heitmuller, playing in the PCL, was an outstanding hitter. He was hitting .335 when he caught typhoid fever in late September. He was forced to leave the team to try to recover. He didn't. It worsened. He passed away. The 1-2. Perez pops it up. Left side. Shortstop Miller back onto the grass. He's under. He's got the catch. At number one. Well, the league leader in batting average went into a slump, and when the season ended, there was Heine Heitmuller atop the Pacific Coast League in batting. .335. He won the batting title. He was dead. Typhoid fever had ended him. And I'll tell you one more story from 1912 in St. Joseph, Missouri. Jacob Wilson is 0-for-2 with a walk today. Righty to righty. Strike called on the inside corner. There's so much that is just wild. You know what? Changed my mind. I'll tell you something that has to do with the rain and the mud here today. Strike one pitch. Wilson went out too far. It was still called the strike on the outside corner on the breaking ball. Nothing and two on Jacob. It was Andy Euler who was batting in 1905 from Minneapolis against St. Paul on a very rainy, muddy day. This was turned into a children's book called Mudball. Two-strike pitch from Barrington. On its way. Swing and a miss. Ah, Jacob went up. Tried to catch one that was up around his ears. Gone on strikes. Two outs. So Andy Euler hit a baseball in 1905. He swung. Fastball came in, hit off his bat, and he knew he made contact, and so did everybody else. And so he took off for first base, and the defense couldn't find where the ball had gone. Righty, righty, Danny Bautista Jr. takes ball one up and inside. So he's rounding the bases as all of St. Paul's defense is trying to figure out, is it in the outfield? Nobody saw it out there. Is it in the infield? Nobody can find it. Where in the world did this ball go? And he scored. Here's the ball and offering. High and away. Ball two. They finally found it. They found it 2 feet in front of home plate. Right in front of the plate. It had disappeared in the mud. The old 2-foot home run. Andy Euler in 1905. The mud ball. It's muddy here today. Barrington delivers. Ground ball left side, diving stop to his left. And getting up, Ben Ross fires to first in time. He stole away the base hit from Danny Bautista Jr. Start on your scorecard. Going to the bottom of the eighth inning. The Lugnuts are up 2-0 at Cedar Rapids. No mud ball here.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Protect her home and family in a disaster. Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
A 2-0 Lugnuts lead. Let's go to the bottom of the eighth for the right-hander Pedro Santos. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Santos struck out 3 in the bottom of the seventh inning. All of them just watching it. As Ernie Harwell would say, like the house by the side of the road. They're watching the world go by. Jefferson Morales, Keone Cavaco, and Noah Miller are coming up. 8-9-1 for the Colonels, trying to turn around this 2-0 deficit. Should they do so, they would be 3 outs away from the top of the ninth from a 6-game sweep. So that's what's on the line right now for the Lugnuts is win a game in the series, get on the bus, and come back to Lansing, Michigan. The pitching has been dynamite. Can Santos continue it? Deals to Jefferson Morales, righty to righty, batting 8th. Swing and a miss, strike 1. Expanded the zone, chased the fastball up at 95 miles per hour. Santos kicks around on the rubber in the swampy mound conditions. I think the rain has stopped, though. Maybe not the pitch. Morales swings and misses strike 2 as the ball escaped the catcher Rodriguez. Up in the air. Off the backstop, it kicked over the netting, and it set up the kids running out for that baseball. There was a little girl who was racing for it. There was a boy who got there first. The little girl was visibly frustrated, and the older boy handed it to her. Santos has mud caking his spikes, stomping about. We'll see how that affects him. Count is nothing and 2. Morales is 0-2. Strikeout, ground out. 2-strike pitch. Fouled away to the right. I still do see the umbrellas up. I don't see too much rain falling. It was not like it was earlier where it was really coming down. Santos kicks and offers. Swing and a miss. Down goes Morales. 4 outs all via the K for Pedro Santos. There's the first K that faces the proper direction. Got him swinging. Keone Cavaco now, the first router of the Minnesota Twins in 2019, trying to put together his career. He's still only 22 years of age. Drafted out of high school. The pitch, swing and a miss, strike 1. There are a couple of guys on this Cedar Rapids Colonels team who have disappointed. And it's a powerful offense. It's a powerful pitching staff. It's the best team in the West Division. The record is 63-38 entering play today. At 0-1. Hit off a broken bat out in a shallow right field. Thomas started back. Now he comes in. He's got the catch for out number two. Kabako, the first rounder in 2019. Misai Uller being a big-time international free agent who was signed by the Minnesota Twins in 2018. They both scuffled throughout this year. It's just that the rest of the team has been so good. Really, Noah Miller, the first rounder 2 years ago, comes into play today hitting 213. So he has not quite been there. His OPS is below 600. He's 1-for-3 with a single today. Do love his defense. Switch hitter batting left. Takes a fastball at the letters for a called strike. But Jarell Ortega and Kalai Rosario and Emmanuel Rodriguez, even though Rodriguez is hitting 228, there's been so much else that he has done. Ben Ross and Andrew Cassetti, they've been good enough to support a really great pitching staff. Strike one pitch is on its way. That's down low. I think a key question that is going to be asked long term is how many of these players are going to impact the Minnesota Twins in the future. But it's the Twins' goal for this year that all of these players get used to winning together. Noah Miller's playing in his 93rd game of the season. 2-0, Lugnuts, two outs. Santos offers a 1-1. Right down the middle. Strike called. 1-2. On the other side, for the Oakland Athletics and the Lansing Lugnuts prospects, I think we can see the same thing, that the Oakland A's will want Colby Thomas and Brendan Malone to work their way up the ladder together, just as they came up from Stockton together. Here's the 1-2. That's high. Danny Bautista Jr. and Junior Perez coming up from Stockton to Lansing to start up this year, and how much both of them have blossomed as this year has gone on. Now you add in a Jacob Wilson, and there's more. Daniel Susak on the injured list right now, but how good has he been offensively? The 2-2 pitch from Santos, down low. There's something to be said about guys being in the same clubhouse together, being through a long season together, and then working their way up the ladder together and helping each other out through the slumps. That when times get tough and the days are too cold, or the days are too hot, or like today, the day is too rainy. Payoff pitch from Santos to Miller. Lash to deep right field. Thomas watches. It's gone. Noah Miller homers off Santos, and the Colonels trail 2-1. He timed up a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. Sixth home run of the year for Miller. Bring up Jarell Ortega. First earned run scored against Santos as a member of the Lugnuts. Ortega is 0-for-2 with a strikeout, a flyout, and a walk. And now he represents the potential game-tying run. The shutout bid is over. Lugnuts still four outs away from the victory. And the 6-5 Santos. Kicks, throws. Ortega takes. Ball one outside. Fastball missing at 95. Now those big bats waiting in the wings take on an extra little bit of urgency. No more two-run lead to play around with. Even though even that lead felt tenuous. It's a one-run game. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Here, Elvis Del Rosario dealt in six scoreless innings, allowing only two hits, and he struck out nine. And then Santos to the mound beginning in the seventh with three strikeouts in that frame. Strikeout in setting down the first two batters here in the eighth. But Miller's home run, that changes the complexion somewhat of this game. Makes things ever more taut. 2-1 Lugnuts. A 1-1 pitch to Ortega. Misses, down and in. And now every base runner who gets on would be the potential game-tying run. And then the batter would be the potential go-ahead run. You've got the man on deck, Kalai Rosario, tied for first in the Midwest League in home runs. Santos delivers. Ortega swings and misses. 2-2. Still, easier to hit Santos. Easier said, what am I trying to say? Easier said than done to try to hit Pedro Santos. That's what I'm trying to say. Noah Miller did. Ben Ross and Misael Urbina, and Carson McCusker and Jefferson Morales and Keone Kavako did not. Ortega's trying his luck. Lugnuts bullpen quiet. There is a Colonel warming up and the pen down the right side. Santos comes set. Here's the pitch. Chopper dribbling foul left side. Ortega was just feeling out for the bat, trying to catch any piece of that pitch. Two runs, four hits, no errors for the Lugnuts. One run, three hits, and one error for the Colonels. Ortega in this series, 5 for 14, three walks. He homered in the very first game. That was the game in which the Lugnuts fell 12-9. Very different sort of series finale. A 2-2. The curveball just outside. Oh, Wilson was running off the field. Josh Wainwright had started from his second base spot, but the count is full. 3-2 on Jarell Ortega. Here's the payoff. Ground ball up the third base side, off the bag to A. Rebillanales, though the first received by Malone, inning over. That ball didn't hit third base and take a peculiar hop is fortunate for Lansing. And A. Rebillanales, in the end, turned it into a sound play. We're going to the ninth. Cedar Rapids one run tighter. Lugnuts 2, Colonels 1 on the Miller home run.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
A 2-1 lead for the Lugnuts entering the ninth inning. Runs in the sixth and the seventh, thanks to a Danny Bautista Jr. RBI single and a C.J. Rodriguez sacrifice fly, giving the Lugnuts this lead. The only Colonels run, a solo home run by Noah Miller in the eighth. In this ninth, Malone, Thomas, and Anales, 4-5-6, against a new pitcher out there for Cedar Rapids. Brendan Malone takes on the right-hander A.J. Labus, who deals outside ball one. L-A-B-A-S, Labus, in appearances, a 5-4 ERA. He struggled, league batting 311 against him. A swing and a foul off to the right side. One ball, one strike on Malone, who is 0-3 with a strikeout, a flyout, a popout. He replaces Malik Barrington. Went two innings, allowed one run, one hit, one walk, one strikeout. Swing and a miss by Malone. One ball and two strikes. Labus rocks, winds, throws, swing and a miss on a front door slider. Ended up down and in. Malone strikes out. Bring up the number five hitter, Colby Thomas.
Right fielder, number eight, Colby Thomas.
I was asking Calvin Cristoforo, voice of Cedar Rapids, earlier today, where do you think the Colonel's vulnerability lies? The pitch, Thomas swings and misses, strike one. And Calvin said the bullpen, that he's not sure if he trusts the bullpen when it comes time for the postseason. They know they're going. They won the first half West title. The pitch. Thomas takes it right down the middle. The slider for a called strike. Slider upon slider upon slider from Labus out of Plano, Texas. Kicks and throws. Slider swung on and missed. Back-to-back strikeouts for Labus. We are at basically the 2 o'clock hour right now in terms of this game, the 2-hour mark.
Third baseman, number 1, Eurybio Angeles.
We were delayed about 15 minutes before the scheduled first pitch due to the rain that came sweeping through earlier in the day. Eurybio Angeles grounds the first pitch he sees to second, snatched up by Ortega. Throws to first, and at the bag, Kavaka came off to receive, then right back to it to step on the base. Quick frame for Labus. Bullpen today, 1 run allowed in 3 innings for Cedar Rapids. The question is, will that run be significant? The Lugnuts are leading by that run right now. To the bottom of the 9th inning, 2-1 Nuts, 3 outs from victory.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person, had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
It is game number 12 in a 12-game road trip to the state of Iowa. It began with a 6-game series split at Quad Cities, and then things went sideways against Cedar Rapids, the Lugnuts losing the first 5 games. But they're winning right now, 2-1, to the bottom of the 9th, 3 outs away from a potential victory. Pack up that bus, head back to Michigan State Capitol. It will not come easy for Pedro Santos and the Lugnuts D. 3-4-5 hitters, Rosario, Ross, and Cassetti, all of them sluggers against the 6-5 righty from Cuba. Pedro Santos to Kalai Rosario, a fastball high, ball 1. Just in case, Brock Whittlesey is warming up in the pen. Santos has worked 2 innings in relief today. He has struck out 4, he's allowed 1 walk, 1 hit, Noah Miller homer. He fires. Rosario takes a called strike at the letters. Rosario is 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts. This after striking out 3 times yesterday. Lugnuts have pitched him well. Pitch is on its way. Swing and a miss. Strike 2. And in fact, because he struck out in his final at-bat a couple of days ago, Kalai Rosario, therefore, he's 0 for his last 7 with 6 strikeouts. 5th round selection of the Minnesota Twins 3 years ago. The native Hawaiian. 1-2 the count against a strikeout pitcher in Santos. Knees bent from the right side. Santos lifts the left leg and deals. Curveball drops in for a called strike 3. And Rosario strikes out again. 0 for his last 8 with 7 Ks for the best hitter in the Colonel's order. Ben Ross now, who's 0 for 3, struck out his last time, came against Santos. 5 strikeouts for Santos in 2 1/3 innings. 2-1 Lugnuts, 1 out in the 9th. Roddy righty. The pitch, up and away for ball 1. Ross drags his bat across home plate. Brings it several times through the zone. Santos with a sign set at the belt. Kicks and fires. Fastball, broken bat, ground ball, hits his second. Wright picks it up. The throw to first, out number 2. And that bat is busted for Ross. So Ross likely finishes the series 4-for-25. I say these numbers And then we also have to remember Cedar Rapids has won each of the first five games in the series. The Lugnuts have controlled certain key members of this Colonel's order, and yet Cedar Rapids kept finding a way to win Tuesday through last night. Yesterday they went up and they prevailed 3-1. Their final 17 batters were set down in order. Andrew Cassetti swings and misses the first pitch. Strike one. Cassetti walked against Santos in the seventh inning. That again, striking out, swinging against the starting pitcher Del Rosario in the second and the fifth. 2-1, Lugnuts, one out from the win. The deal. Low and away, ball one. Cassetti is 4-for-14 against Lugnuts pitching. Two doubles, five walks. That's where he is hurt with his great patience. The burly bearded catcher with the long curly brown hair waiting. That waggling. Santos dealing. Fouled straight back. Lansing is one strike away from the win. One ball and two strikes in Cassetti. Santos attacked him with a 94 mile an hour heater. Santos pitched in the series opener on Tuesday. Went 2 2/3 hitless, scoreless innings, and he struck out four. He has five strikeouts through 2 2/3 today. Looking to save it for Yoelvis Del Rosario. He has a sign. He comes set. Here's his 1-2. The curveball drops low. Ball two. On deck for Cedar Rapids, Misael Urbina. Third baseman Anales is deep, hugging his line. Outfield straight up. Lansing 2, Cedar Rapids 1. The set and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Santos fans Cassetti. Blew him away with the cutter. And that'll do it today. And that'll do it for the road trip. Lugnuts beat the Colonels 2-1. Lansing takes a game in this series, halting the potential of the sweep. Lansing improves to 14-22, 45-56 overall, dropping the Colonels to 23-13, 63-39 for the season. For the Lugnuts, two runs, four hits, no errors. One run, three hits, one error for Cedar Rapids. Yoelvis Del Rosario picks up the win. It's his first win as a starter, his second win overall for the year. And after 4 1/3, one hit innings of scoreless baseball his last time out, he goes out and he fires six scoreless today, only two hits. He struck out nine, one walk, and Pedro Santos took it the rest of the way. Santos strikes out six in his three innings. The only run for Cedar Rapids, the home run by Noah Miller with two outs in the eighth inning. The Lugnuts runs. Junior Perez sprinting in on the Danny Bautista Jr. bloop RBI single with two outs in the sixth. And C.J. Rodriguez's team-leading sacrifice fly. Rodriguez's sixth sacrifice fly of the year, plating Colby Thomas in the seventh inning. And that was necessary and enough. Lugnuts win it 2-1 over the Colonels. Coming back to Lansing, Michigan. 12 home games to come over the next 13 days. The Lugnuts and the Colonels, I should say over the next 14 days, really. Next 13 days starting on Tuesday. Six against Fort Wayne, August the 8th through August the 13th. Six against Great Lakes, August the 15th through August the 20th. Go online to LansingLugnuts.com and get your tickets. We're going to have a ton of fun. Well, just a couple of final numbers to tell you about here today. The game was played in 2 hours and 6 minutes from Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 2 hours and 6 to finish things off on a lovely day from Cedar Rapids. There was the 12-minute delay before we could get things underway. Let's see. I can add that the game was played in front of 2,889 fans. And I'll just stop right there and I'll tell you, going to be great to get back to Michigan State Capitol. Adam Jackson will rejoin me. We look forward to seeing you at Jackson Field for Lansing Lugnuts home baseball the next 2 weeks. My pregame show guest today was Lugnuts head athletic trainer Eric Fast. He's going to take a break. He's got to move. So we'll have different acting support staff for the athletic trainer and for Steve Thayer, the strength and conditioning coach. The rest of the Lugnuts, though, will be coming back on the bus. And it's going to be your first chance to see the first rounder, Jacob Wilson, and this victorious bunch today after the long road trip back home. Thank you once again for tuning in and keeping me company. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Your final score once more, the Lugnuts 2, the Colonels 1. Here's wishing you a terrific rest of your weekend from the city of five seasons, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. This has been Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts!